Greetings, Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. Been blessed with the things that we heard here this morning already, and just the encouragement that we received in our song service and teaching God's word. This morning, I'd like to again turn to Peter here. And before we do that, maybe we can just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause here this morning. We do thank you for today. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather together and place ourselves before the preaching of your word. And Lord, we do pray this morning that you would minister to the needs that we have. The desires that we have in our hearts, Lord, I just pray that you would minister to those. And Lord, this morning, if we have desires in our hearts that are not in line with what you would have, I pray, Lord, that you would deal with those things in our hearts as well. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear this morning and hearts to receive. I pray that you would be, that you would also give me the ability to share the things that you have shown me and placed on my heart, and that we could all just grow closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look in Peter here again, and I was ready for 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'll probably just make just a few, I'll just point out a few things here. But our brother that came and taught us here a few weeks back, I was very blessed to sit and listen to him teach out of 1 Peter. And it was very encouraging to me. And he just spent a bit of time in chapter 5, and so I felt like I just maybe share some of the things there that pointed out and then move on to 2 Peter chapter 1. Some of the things that we've, as I was just pondering 1 Peter here and just looking at what Peter was teaching us, he touched on every one of us. None of us got away without being talked to or pointing out things that we, the way we should live life or the way that we shouldn't live life, from in our homes, in our activities, in our jobs, in relating to one another, in as a church, as families, as married husband and wives. We all had opportunity to learn and to analyze our lives and to see how we're doing. And I was just blessed in how Peter did just walk through all of those as I studied this chapter again. And then going to chapter 5 here, he begins the chapter here as speaking to pastors and elders in how to how we, the responsibilities that we have. And I'll just, without reading the chapter, I'll just point out some of those things that as I looked at that again here this week. Elders feed the people, not because you have to, but willingly. And not for shameful gain, not to domineer, but by being an example. He points out in chapter 5 here that submission is something that we experience. Humility as God's people is something that we understand. And as submission and humility is part of our lives, I believe it gives us the ability, as we understand those things, it gives us the ability The things that we care about deeply, we're able to take those things and cast them on God. And just allow him to take care of those things. In verse 7 there, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And as we come to an understanding and realize that that's who God is, he cares for us. And as we understand that, we're able and want to cast those things that matter to us, we give them to the Lord, knowing that he's going to take care of them. We're reminded that the devil is seeking who he can devour. And we're reminded here as well that to remember that we're not alone in our afflictions. That I believe that's something that Satan likes to do, is he likes to push us to the side if he can, to push us into a corner and to make us believe that we're alone and life is hard and no one else is able to help or to understand. And we're to remember that we're not alone in life, and that we have people around us that care and want to support us. And then the last part of chapter 5 there, verse 14, talks about the kiss of charity. And I was just thinking about that, and it's showing and wishing them blessings as we do that. And it's something that we do in just showing that we care, and something that it is not supposed to be. And we see Judas did that with Jesus. Judas also kissed Jesus, but he did it in disguise of love, but meant to bring harm to Jesus. And so it's not supposed to be that. And we are to have a true care for one another. So with that, I'd like to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read through verse 8. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 1 and 2 here in this chapter We are reminded of what Jesus has done and experiencing his forgiveness, and that we're living in that. And as that becomes reality in our lives, our lives are filled with peace, and it changes us. And I believe that's what Peter has been telling us all along in 1 Peter, is he's, as his people, he's teaching us who we should be and what God wants from us as his people, and how he's forgiven us, and how he wants to change us. And so it's just been a real blessing to me just to go over that again and again. And it's as I look at myself and see, it's like, oh, this is how God wants me to live. And as I see areas in my life that need to change, it gives me opportunity to recognize those things and to repent of those things and allow God's word to change me. And that's, I believe, what God wants to do here as we look at these verses here. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then going down to verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life in godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So we just stop and look at verse 3 here and just ponder the things that it's telling us here. Life, God's word, God, as he has forgiven us and is changing us, he's bringing life into our lives. And when we think about life, it is the opposite of perishing. It is the opposite of dying. We are becoming alive, and and it says life in godliness. When we think about life, it is deliverance of what it's speaking here. It is deliverance of condemnation and death. It is a life that lasts forever. It is eternal. That's the kind of life that Jesus gives us as we experience his love, as he forgives us and we become one. Life that overflows joy, peace, satisfaction, security. Those are some of the things as God's people, when we think about life, as we are living life out the way that Peter is teaching us, is we experience a life that overflows with joy, with peace. We're satisfied in Jesus. We are a secure people. And our security comes in the Lord. I was blessed with just looking at the first message there and looking at Jonathan. Obviously, we can see that Jonathan had security in the Lord. And it wasn't, he wasn't secure because everything was okay around him. But he experienced that security because his trust was in God. And he was living that out. Jesus wants to give us everything that we need to walk through life. He wants our lives to overflow with these things. And I believe they will as I put my trust in the Lord. When I put my trust, like we see like Saul did, he was taking things in his own hands and he was trying to make things work out. And the more he tried, the less secure he was. And the more he had to step outside of God's plan to try to make things happen. And on the other hand, we see Jonathan and David doing as they trusted God. They had peace. And even though their surroundings maybe wouldn't have allowed that to happen, but because their trust was there, they could experience that. And I believe that is what God wants for us as his people to experience. In verse 3 there, I have godliness underlined in my Bible. I have had it underlined. And what is that? What is that telling us when we look at godliness? Godliness means to be Christ-like. That's what Peter has been teaching us in as we've gone through this passage. In all different areas, as we live, as we respond to life, he's teaching us how to be godly people, to be Christ-like. When we think about godliness, it means that as I'm responding to life, that we are reminded of something that Jesus would do or say. And as we analyze that in our lives, and we respond that way, we would see God's hand of approval over our lives in that way. This kind of living means that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to control our emotions. Instead of seeking out or seeing human wisdom, we show godly wisdom. These are, I believe, what we call godliness. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to look at words like this or a life like this as something that's out there. And we analyze our lives and we feel like, I just not quite there. And yes, we're human. We fall short. And those are the times that as we see that happening, that we come to the Lord and we seek for forgiveness and we seek to be strengthened and encouraged and to grow. And so my encouragement is that as we look at as a living a godly life, that it's not supposed to be something that is just out there, but that it is, God wants it to be a reality in our lives, and in that we can be confident that our lives are, He wants us to be able to live our lives. He wants to give us strength, and that as we look at that we feel like our lives are pleasing to the Lord, and that we understand that and experience that. John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Verse 4 here in 2 Peter chapter 1 here, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We're reminded here that because of Jesus, we can be partakers of His divine nature. It is because of Jesus that we are participating in His divine nature. And it is also because of Jesus that we have the ability to escape the corruption of the world through lust. The corruption of the world through lust. These are things that are fleshly in that it, before Christ, that will take us over or have taken us over. But it is because of Jesus that we're able to escape the corruption of the world through lust, that we can be free of those things. When we think about lust, it means unbridled desires or out of control. Those are the things that God saves us from and wants to save us from. Verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." So we have faith, and he's saying here that to our faith in God, that we should have add virtues, and to virtue to knowledge. When we look at virtue, we think of excellent character, doing what is right. And when we look at knowledge, an awareness, practical wisdom, and knowing what to do. Isn't that what Peter's been teaching us? Knowing what to do. Awareness. When God's word shows us and makes us aware of something, how I should live, the things that I should be doing or not doing. So we need faith, we virtue, think about our character, the courage to do the right thing. Knowledge is to be aware, to have godly wisdom, and when things come up, we are seeking that out and know how to live that out. Verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. We look at, these are all things that he's saying we should be adding to our faith. Temperance is self-control. Self-control of our emotions and desires. These are things that God wants he's teaching us. Wants us to be overcomers in. Patience. What does patience look like? Having the ability to wait. When we think about patience, I believe here in this passage, it's not just talking about sitting around and doing nothing, but actually being active. Is able to face life. And in many cases, I believe where this is teaching us in is life isn't necessarily going in the steps or in the order that we expected or thought that it was going to. But as we, as life plays out before us, we have the ability to wait. We are able to face life. And it isn't that person, as though things play out, that he takes the back seat and says, well, things aren't going the way that I planned or thought they were going to. And so therefore, I'm going to sit in the back seat and just wait. We're doers, but we're trusting and confident in the Lord. And then again here in verse 6, to patience, he brings out godliness again. And godliness is in this to be like Jesus, to do it for God. That is the key for this to work, is that we are doing it for the Lord, and we will be blessed as we do that. In verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, and charity. When we think about brotherly kindness, what I thought of is a deep care for others. A deep care for others. And so, brotherly kindness here is not speaking about family connections, but it's a people connection, people that we meet and see as we interact with people, we care for them. We see them as value. we recognize them as people, as someone that God cares about. Charity is a love not because they always deserve it, but it's showing a love because we want to show them Jesus. And just like Jesus showed us love, even at times when we didn't deserve it, God was faithful and showed us love. And so he's teaching us to do that. Verse 8 here, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the promise that we have in verse 8 is as we experience this, as we allow this to become a reality in our lives, as we listen to God's Spirit and allow Him to change us in these areas, what verse 8 is promising us is that our life is not going to be empty. Or unproductive. Barren or unfruitful. Saying that, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's a promise, I believe, this morning that we can claim. And when we find ourselves not that way, then we have reason to go back and look, and it's like, okay, what is going on? And look at myself and see where my trust is coming in. And our trust needs to be in the Lord, and that we are living for Him. In closing here in John chapter 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And I believe Jesus is giving us a promise there as well, that we, as we yield our lives to Him and walk in Jesus, that we're not going to walk in darkness, but that we will find meaning and purpose in life in the Lord. And so I was encouraged by those verses, and there's a lot here, and it all seems like it's easy to just sort of skim over that and because it's so practical life, but I believe that we do well in looking at those things and just letting God's word encourage us. And in looking at 1 Peter, in all the areas that he taught us, in allowing God to guide us in wherever we find ourselves. May the Lord bless you as we allow him to mold us.